Welcome, everyone. It's Enrico Jenko. I'm the Signal. And we're back talking about the market and all our mental visual imagery. That's why I call this fifth dimension trading, because we're going to start, or I'm going to start with this first, with the first three dimensions of trading. First four dimensions, really. Price, time, value. That will give you the reality of what the industry, what the market is doing. The next dimensions really mostly focus with you, because in order for you to see the realities of the market correctly, consistently, you need to internalize and work out some issues that you might have in yourself that allows you not to see reality as it is. And in a way, once that is said, it sounds kind of, you know, it might throw you off, but we all have mental issues. You know, I think to be in business, you kind of have to have a mental issue, because it takes a level of insanity to do the opposite of what society kind of tells you that you should be doing. So to do a about face in the midst of all that, it takes a lot. And to be able to do that and to consistently to be profitable and see reality the way it is for what it is, and then be able to align yourself with that consistently. For me to do that, I had to go under hypnosis. I had to learn to, you know, quote unquote, hypnotize myself. And I don't usually call it hypnosis, because I don't know, I just usually don't call it hypnosis, I guess because of the images or the thoughts that it conjures up. But if I was to say alchemy, I think it would conjure up just as many crazy images. But the gist of it is, to get to the fifth dimension of trading, that fifth dimension, that power is you. It's you yourself, right? You against the universe. You and I against the universe, right? You and I versus the all. So when we're together as you and I, once you actually internalize the information, it's you doing it. And it's going to be your reality, and everything is going to be based off of what you value in the market. That's the interesting part about the market, that if there was no timing factors, we took away the timing factors, you could pick any point in the market and say that's what you consider of the value for yourself, and you can wait and wait, and you'll eventually be profitable. That's why they always say it's about you. It's not about anyone else. But I say all that not to harp on and try to, beat you in the head. So let's continue. Peter Bernstein wrote a quote, "You can manage risk, but not return." And that's oftentimes what goes on in trading. You know what your risk is, and you can manage that risk. But what you receive as a profit, you have nothing to do with it, because the market will determine your profit, because the market is the one making the decisions as far as when the market stops going in one direction and goes in the other direction. We don't make those decisions. So all we can do is know what our risk is going to be and then manage that and hopefully get a return from it. A lot of what I'm going to be talking about is not about gaining any type of competitive advantage over the other traders. There was a preface by, who wrote this preface? I forgot who even brought where I got this from, but I think it says, it explains a lot about the market, about your competitors and gaining an advantage over him, over them, him, her, whoever they are. To achieve this advantage, you must first discard the belief that there's a linear relationship between risk and reward. So, first off, the first thing he's speaking about is that most people look at risk and reward as a straight line. I'm a, you know, I risk this, and my reward is that. If they look at risk and reward at all, there's a common theory that risk and reward doesn't play come into the picture till after the trades are done. A primary objective of trading investment is to identify profitable opportunities and then to be able to capitalize on these opportunities. The way that it's been done over millennial is you learn to identify imbalances in the market that reveal themselves in the evolving market structure. That's the kind of way I trade. I look for the imbalances that occur. My time frame happens to be, you know, the 1 minute to 5 minute time frame. And in that time frame, what I'm looking for is imbalances in the market as determined by what the value of the market is. And a lot of these identification and identifying the imbalance in the market is that's kind of like the beginning. Like I said, the fifth dimensions of trading, you got to understand that the way you process and respond to that information is very important. You got to make sure your ability to act upon it is not blocked or distorted by some peripheral influence. And this is what I'm saying when we go into our fifth dimensional trader and saying it's all about you. In my opinion, this is a fantastic time that we live in. I believe it's a change of age. I believe a lot of spirits are being awoken to the reality of the world that we live in. That though we are flesh and blood in the physical form, we are spiritual beings made of light. And at some point in our travel, we forgot this. So that's some of my just where I'm coming from in the background. And that might scare you off. But you should not let it scare you off because I believe I receive my information just as Moses received his, as Christ received his, like Daniel received his. That's how I received this information. I believe it came from a divine place, it came in bits and pieces. But when I sat down and looked at the whole of the sum of what was accumulated, I finally started to understand what was going on within the market. And that was a change for me. The markets themselves are rational, but the people are not. Dow Jones made the efficient market theory. And it's basically right, because the efficient market theory says that there is no imbalances like that because the market self-corrects itself immediately. Everything is in the prices. And that's pretty much true. But the fact that it's a two-way auction prices by which prices move over time to facilitate the trade either up and down, that movement right there can be an extremely rational process. But like I said, it's people involved. The other half of the efficient market equation is wrong. because people are seldom rational, especially when they're making emotional decisions. And every financial decision will be an emotional one. The first step toward more profitable trading is to accept that the market is irrational due to the fact that people make decisions based off of completely wrong information or incomplete information, and that often results in worse decisions being made when it is so important for you to be right. Like, you'll make a terrible decision when it is of grave importance for you to be right. And the reason most likely that you'll make this terrible decision is because you don't have all the information. 85, 95% of the people that trade in the market do not have all the information needed to trade profitably. Human nature is such that we tend to overweight information that supports what we believe. If we believe that the market is going upwards, we're going to look at the market in a biased way to support what we're thinking. And we'll do that because we don't have all the information. We don't have anything to sit there that really negates or says, nah, you're absolutely wrong in thinking that. So even though our mind is going to seek out the big pieces of information and big pieces of the picture that are going to make us feel real confident in what we're going to do, this is mostly because we don't have the whole of the information. And this whole recurring overconfidence that people get when they make their decision in the market, that's what makes the markets irrational. However, what's crazy about it, it makes it irrational in a predictable manner. People acting irrationally, but it happens in a predictable manner. Mass psychology, this is what that is. Mass behavioral studies. And this was found out by a psychologist, Amos Tversky, Daniel Kahneman. So because of this, if you look at it even further, it's easy, it starts to become easy to take advantage of the fact that people will do things in a predictable manner. And it shows itself when you have a proper charting system, or it shows itself in the charting system that I like to use. I don't know what's proper or improper. However, that the charting system I like to use, it shows you a structure. It shows you how the auction process reveals what the market is doing. And within that structure, predictability manifests itself in a recognizable forms. You start to get excess. And that excess occurs at the end of an auction. And I'm going to show you how that all forms up and how it happens as we go further. Because it's excess, more inventory, extra inventory. What happens when a store has extra inventory? They have too many TVs that got to go. That means that a sale have to go on so they can get them out the store. All markets will alternate like this. They'll go between periods of, you know, a stable market and one that is under crisis, right? The easiest way to see this is by just watching the market in real time. You start seeing that market structure. You start to recognize the equilibrium when it is equilibrium. You start to recognize when the paradigm shifts. And it starts to make it possible to really identify when the status quo is changing. What do I mean by that? When We're going from a buy campaign to a sell campaign. You'll look through the internet and you'll see that everyone will, be talking about how much problems they may be having trading or not. I don't know what anybody individually does except for the people that individually work with me. But I know that everyone that talks about problems with their investing and how the market works, their issue is their process. They have no real process of interpreting market behavior and then being able to like really quantify that information in a way that enables them to invest in a high probability opportunity. So this is kind of why this series is here, because I just want to just talk, because I know that it's the mental images have to come for yourself, and as soon as they start to root in your brain about what is actually going on, everything else starts to make incredible sense. It starts to make incredible sense. You know that there is no certainty. There's only probabilities in the markets. Markets react to countless influences. You got the fundamental news, you got, terrorist attack, wars, political shit going on, natural disasters, all types of things, and it's hitting all types of time frames. The shorter the time frame, the more uncertain things can happen. So that's just, the market. So me knowing this, I started to learn that I had to kind of like diversify what I was looking at. I had to kind of diversify how I looked at the time frames. Because the time frames made a big difference. Because a lot of traders, a lot of investors used its time frame diversification to hedge themselves against major market liquidations. And I know I'm saying a lot right now for you, but that's okay, because all of it it's going to catch up to you. It's all going to catch up for you. Everybody wants an absolute answers. Everybody wants the answer right now. That's why you got all the math quants and everyone that comes to the market, because they believe that, mathematics is going to answer the call for them. And in a way, mathematics is helpful. It is helpful, but it's not the answer. Because math is more consistent than human nature is. Math is inflexible. Human nature is flexible, and it'll change at a moment's notice. Math doesn't. So a math model won't allow you to distance yourself from any of the competitors that also use a math model. And how many math geniuses or quants do you think that there is in the market? The object of what I'm doing is to kind of like separate the whole market mechanism from you as a trader. So we can, while it's possible for us to sit here and describe all the workings of the market with a single framework, we can do that. We can't do it in a single equation, because an equation will just be a model of it. It won't be the realness. I think the most important part of use of the market is the real-time context, the market-generated information. What does the market give us that is irrefutable? because that is the information that we have to work with. Anything else is just theory, conjecture, and might not align with our goals. Price, time, and volume aligns with our goals. Because once we know this and are able to interpret it correctly, we can understand better the nature of changes that are going on in the market. And that is what we use to positively influence our trade locations. And once we got our trade locations in place, we then control risk and are able to take advantage of opportunities that occur within the developing market structures. I know in the beginning of this, it's kind of difficult to understand it all, but in reality, it is very simple because you've been doing it all your life. You've been doing it all your life. But you don't, none of this is necessary because change is never necessary for you. But will you survive if you don't change is a big question. Will you survive if you do not change the way that you think about the markets? Let's go into a little bit of application, more application with it real quick. Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point, kind of explains the cycle of the market because the cycle of a market is just a change. It's a change. The cycle of the market is a change. And the change, when something changes, the beliefs are different then. Right? When a change occurs, the beliefs are different. Change actually threatens the terms in which the investors are identifying with who they are, how they invest their money. So as soon as you change your belief, how you that's an emotional change. That's a change within yourself. So as soon as you do that, the way you identify with money, the way you just the way you spend it is going to change. The way you invest it, the way you look at the market is going to change as soon as the market shows a change. Paradigm shifts force a community to reconstruct its foundation of beliefs. Facts are reevaluated. Data is examined again through new lenses. And despite the resistance that you're going to have by the crowds, by those who refuse to let go of the outdated idea, that old paradigm is overthrown. You see what I'm saying? That it's a change. It's a change. A new community of belief has been established. That whatever the radical theory that we were onto, or what people thought was radical, now that's the norm. That's the norm of the establishment. The cycle of change has now been gone. It's underway. All right, that's change. And that's essentially what you see with the market cycles. You see a change. Now, how important is change? I just said it. Think about the many powerful institutions, the strong individual that lead them. They led the fray, and now they might be gone. Right? Big companies, Blockbusters, Tower, all types of huge companies, JP Morgan. Change comes. And those who can take advantage of it early or can't overturn their old beliefs, they get squashed. And this pattern repeats itself all the time. not just in the market, but in all human behaviors, all human encounters. Malcolm Gladwell defined the way people react to change by classifying them on a spectrum. You got the innovators, then you got the early adopters, then you got the early majority, then you got the late majority, and then you got the laggards. They're just, you know, last one into it, period. Now, as we go forward now, I'm going to show you how you use the market-generated information to actually identify and adapt to this change before everyone else does. Of course, once the majority recognizes that the change has occurred or is occurring, you're already too late, right? You want to be able to know when the innovators and early adopters are making their moves. So that's what's important. That's what's important to me. That's what's important to me. I challenge myself to really be an innovator and to, you know, overchange like a lot of stuff that I believe that I knew in my heart about economic conditions, market conditions, and all that. I went out my way to really change that because it was incorrect. And it was hard for me to face that it was incorrect. And I didn't realize how incorrect it was until I took a peek at my performance. And then the books don't lie. Then I saw where I was wrong at. And you might be faced with that, this same thing with this information I'm giving to you, right? And you initially, you're definitely going to have some resistance to it, just like, you know, a cycle of change in the market. As soon as the cycle change starts to get ready to change, there's resistance. That's the fate of a new paradigm, right? There's resistance. Most of the time, that resistance is going to come from people that want to uphold the old status quo. They want things to stay the way they were. Just like the market. The market is selling off. Them sellers going to hang on tooth and nail until they can't hold on anymore. And the market is forced to change, and they are trampled on in the change. We're going to address the change of the markets really from the broadest perspective. So we will start with those that operate on the longest time frame. But the crazy thing about it is, and the most important, it sounds crazy, but it is most important. The same process occurs for every trader and investor on every time frame. Same process is going on every time frame. So that's the great thing about this. Once we like really get into rolling as far as looking at the different parts of this, then you'll see that it happens every time frame. Doesn't make a difference. And it's happening the same way. Right? It happens the same way. So if you capitalize on 5-minute price swings, you're good. You're a day trader who makes several daily decisions, you're good. You do intermediate trading with month-long time frames, you're good. Because really what we're going to be addressing is how change takes place. How change takes place. That's a human condition. The financial market, and therefore all the participants, everyone in it, are at the vortex of a change. I believe in this, like I said, in this time that we're living in, this reality that we're living in, I believe is just a new time. It's a cosmic energy that is starting to cover the earth that we live in. Some will be able to draw upon it. Others will be destroyed behind it. And I don't say that to scare anyone, because I believe it's your choice whether you're destroyed or you're Christian. It's interesting. But this is all about my fifth dimension trading. This is just the way I look at things, what I believe in. So I think we ran about, well, let me see how long we've been on here. About 30 minutes or so. So I won't think I'll leave it here. And we'll go further into this. There's some history that might be helpful with this all too. There's some history that could be helpful. But I don't really want to do that though. Because for some younger people, they don't care about history like that. Most don't anyway. I know when I was younger, a kid or whatever, who cared about what history, you know, did. Even though it made everything possible that we're dealing in today. There's a reason that the markets are moving like they do today. When the exchanges went electronic, things changed. Because when the exchanges went electronic, the pit traders were no longer in the pits. There's no longer a big old pit with traders trading. I mean, there is still a pit, but not like it used to be. Not like it was 50 years ago, 20 years ago. There's no pit like that. So this charting system was put in place so these pit traders could trade the way they used to trade to uphold their status quo. That's the reason why this charting system even came into play. Because once the electronic exchanges came in existence, the pit traders that were no longer in the pit, that had to trade from a remote location, could not do it. They failed, just like me and you fail. And these are supposedly the professionals that have the insider on the price. They failed in large numbers. So to stop them from being decimated and to stop the industry from being ripped and to bring more money into the exchanges, this is why this whole charting system was made. To uphold the status quo. So you and I, retail trader, would not be able to overthrow the matrix or, you know, the establishment, so to speak. All comes down to taking your money and making sure that you and I, you know, pay for someone else's yachts and mini mansions and so forth. Of course, the retail trader is the bread and butter of the industry. That's where they make all their money, from trouncing off of little guys. So once you start looking at the market generated information, you start understanding how that works in real time, what's going on directly in the market. And so you're able to look at short-term inequalities in the market. You see different little slings and arrows of doubt, anger, and fear. You're able to sit down and just focus solely on relevant market-generated information, while all the bullshit data just runs and rages around, just, you know, destroying people's accounts that look at that type of information for trade decisions. The market generated information that we receive is going to be pure. It's going to be unbiased information that comes directly from the market itself. And then once you know how to structure and interpret that information, you're going to get an objective opinion about what's driving the market movement. And all this I'm talking about is really based on order flow. It's real order flow in the market. Nothing else is important. Nothing else is important. All right? So we're going to go on further. I kept you, I believe, long enough. It's Enrico Janko. I'm the Signal. We're talking fifth-dimensional trading. And we'll be back for another episode real soon. Hopefully, I'll get some music on. I got a couple of sponsors lined up, so I have to actually put them in this mix also. So, great things happening. I'm hoping that you guys like this series. Don't be afraid or shy to drop me a line. Let me know how it's sounding, what's going on. If you got any questions, please, please shoot them to me. I love to answer them. And I love to help make you the Signal also. Then Rico Janko, I'm the Signal.